Hi, this is Hal from the Young Punks, and you're listening to slvpodcast.co.uk with Aaron and Joe.
Hello, and welcome Hello. To SLV Podcast, episode 64 for the 7th of April.
It is the 7th, yeah, indeed.
Yeah. 2008.
2008, yeah, it's crazy. It's flying by, isn't it? Where on earth have the first 3 months of the year gone to, Joe?
Yeah, I've no idea.
I know, it really is insane just how quickly it flies by when you have fun, so they say.
Yeah, so far it's been a great year. And I'll tell you what, the weather is very weird at the moment.
Oh, you're telling me? Yeah, should we get into that a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Snow, but also boiling hot sunshine.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, yeah. There's some weird stuff going on here. I mean, we're not getting, like, snow at Christmas, you know, like we used to about 20 years ago. Oh, no, it's coming around about Easter time now.
Yeah.
Except, you know, down where we are, in our small corner of Wales, we're getting a light dusting. And it sort of disappears within 4 hours.
Yeah. We're getting sunshine. Really, really nice summertime, springtime sunshine. And then, like, 2 minutes later, snow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that'll we had hailstones this afternoon as well. Well, I didn't. What about you?
Yeah, well, I got snow and sunshine and rain and everything. I've had every weather that you can think of all in one.
In one day?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, can't fault that. Damn. Yeah, no, I mean, I've got to agree, it has been really stupidly freaky weather. Really has. I can't understand it. It's not making a lick of sense to me.
Global
but
warming.
Hey, you know, that's you know, beautiful British weather.
Yeah.
Aye.
Moving on.
Yeah, shall we?
I'll tell you what, though, so far the year has been quite good for me. I mean, it's not been a good year, but it's been good in terms of tech and good in terms of movies, and yeah, it's been a good year. Better than last year, anyway.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
except for my Xbox 360 getting the red ring of death. But apart from that, it's all good.
Are you finding you're using your spare time a lot better now?
Well, I was talking to someone about that today. I am a little bit, but not overly. I mean, I hooked up the old original Xbox.
Wow, you
Xbox
must have been
Live.
Desperate.
Do you want to know something, actually? There was a ton of people online.
On the old Xbox?
On original Xbox, yeah.
Wow.
An absolute ton. I was amazed. And I had to hack. I had to do a tiny little bit of modification to get the Xbox 360 headset to work on the original Xbox, because they're not back compatible with each other. Unless you take a penknife to it and hack away at the little adapter until it does work. I might actually take a picture of this to show what I've done to get the Xbox 360 headset to work in the original Xbox controller, because it's quite good.
Okay. Yeah. Send it over when you send your copy of the show, and I'll stick it up as a picture of the day, as it were.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, why not? That'd
Moving
be cool.
Anyway, Xbox original, I'm not a big fan.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you were, obviously, originally.
Not really. No,
oh,
I was always
a
PS2 fan.
That's what made you buy an Xbox 360. Come on.
No, Gears of War made me buy an Xbox 360.
Okay.
It was Gears. I waited for the Xbox 360 for quite a long time. I didn't think it was that good, and I still don't think. I mean, I think this is the way you should buy a console. You should wait until there's a game on it that you want to play. Unfortunately, with the Nintendo Wii, there was a game that I wanted to play almost straight away, and it was given away for free. So for the Nintendo Wii, it was a must-have, straight-away purchase. But the Xbox 360, I waited almost a year to get it. Nothing good came out for the Xbox 360. I'm trying to think of games that came out.
Well, see, I mean, I agree with you, you know? I mean, personally speaking, I bought the PS3 on day of release.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the games I had with it, I think I got Ridge Racer 7 and Fall of Man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hammered Ridge Racer, and the other half played Fall of Man like it was kind of out of fashion.
Yeah.
But, you know, we sort of... I think it got a bit neglected, if I'm being honest, especially over Christmas. But now, obviously, I'm a lot more enthused now because I've now got Prologue, you know?
Yeah.
And it's constant online play, constant online battling in cars that look and sound like the real thing, you know?
I'm not sure about that, but still, let's move on. No, it is. Graphically and sound-wise, it's they have gone to an epic level of detail on that game. It's ridiculous. The level of geek, they've really studied the cars and reproduced them in a very spectacular way. I think, it's a really good looking game.
I saw one of the videos on GCTV.
Uh-huh.
And they've literally, I'm not kidding now, put a microphone on the exhaust of a Nissan GTR.
Yeah.
I mean, to get the authentic sound.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they've been doing that in games for quite a long time. The original Gran Turismo team, the original team anyway, back in the day, which I actually do have a link for to find out who exactly they were. They did the exact same thing, audio sampling from real cars to get the actual authentic sound. But what they did is now with the PlayStation 3, they've linked it to the rev count, haven't they? So as you're playing game, they've literally, you're getting the exact sound of the rev count of the game. So it's insane. It's an epic level of detail, which I've got to say I like.
It
but
is
it's
awesome.
Still not that fun a game. I'm sorry, but it needs a damage engine. I'm so nitpicky when it comes to PlayStation. I really am.
You are.
I don't know why. I think it's because there was a video, a viral video that went that came along that was saying about the differences between the Nintendo, which is fun, and the PlayStation 3, which is the absolute perfect simulator.
Yeah.
And it has kind of gotten that way, and Sony really need to claw back fun from Nintendo, otherwise they're going to find themselves third forever, I think.
But isn't that a good distinguishing feature? I mean, I'm sorry, but realism can be fun.
Well,
in my opinion. Anyway,
I don't think it's appealing to the people that aren't already into video games, and that's the problem. The gamers market, the non-gamers are buying Nintendo Wiis, and there's a lot more non-gamers than there are gamers out there, I think.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, talking about gaming and game consoles and PS3 and things like that, Gizmodo have got a review of the DualShock 3 controller, and they're saying it's underwhelming for the PS3. Basically, the long-awaited DualShock 3 controller for the PS3 has hit US stores today.
Uh-huh.
The likes of Circuit City and I think Best Buy as well have got it in stock for like $56, which is an awesome price.
That's actually not too bad.
Indeed, yeah. But apparently, it is completely underwhelming, which is quite gutting. It's going to be, what, £27, sorry.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a ton of people waiting to get hold of it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. What were people expecting from the DualShock 3?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you've got the six-axis controller, but because obviously, Sony had a falling out with, who was it who made it? I'm trying to think, I can't remember.
It was a Nintendo...
No. Sony fell out with the guys who put DualShock 2 in the PS2 controller.
No, Rumble, you mean.
Immersion, that's it, Immersion created it.
Yeah.
And obviously now that they're friends again, obviously DualShock 3 is a result, and people have really, really been looking forward to it, but apparently it is completely underwhelming. I mean, I can't wait to get my hands on it, because it's going to be like having... It's just going to be having like the complete experience in your hand again, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I do like Prologue, but, if when I crash into the back of a really expensive car, it doesn't rumble in my hand.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't feel quite right, you know?
Right.
If that makes any sense.
No, it does. My favourite controller is the Wavebird. It's a GameCube controller. It's wireless. That also doesn't have rumble, so I'm not so bothered by rumble. I don't think the PlayStation misses it.
Oh, come on.
It's one of the nitpicks that I don't actually pick on. It's one of the things that the PlayStation about, that's not one of them.
See, for me, I mean, especially in, like, things like Tekken, you know? I mean, for me, I can't really play Tekken properly without the rumble going on, you know?
You miss it.
I mean, I do, yeah. I was completely awesome at Tekken on the PS2, you know?
Yeah.
But now I've sort of lost my way a bit, you know, because I can't get that feedback in my hands, you know, that I've been hit. I mean, yeah, I can see it going on in front of me, but it's not the same thing, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't. I know what you're saying.
Indeed. Gizmodo also reporting that pizza.com has been sold after a guy in the US basically bought it way back in 1994 for £20.
All right.
And it's now been bought for £1.3 million.
Did you say pizza? The name pizza?
No, pizza.com.
Oh, pizza.com.
Yeah. Apparently this guy, Chris Clark from Baltimore, bought pizza.com for, like I say, £20.
Yeah.
And he's been sitting on it since 1994. He turned it into a bit of a link farm, apparently. And tried to make a bit of cash. He tried to make a bit of cash that way. But apparently he bought it for his business that didn't really take off.
Right.
And he heard that vodka.com sold for like $3 million or $1.5 million. £6 million in the UK, obviously.
Right.
So he decided to try, you know, wait it out and try his luck with that. He heard about that way back in 06. So anyway, he put pizza.com up on eBay and started bidding at $100. And he ended up at $2.6 million. Apparently there was some sort of anonymous bidder that you know, overwhelmed him. And he's just been quoted by his local paper saying, well, it's just crazy, it's bonkers, it's crazy. And obviously he's quite gutted he didn't register any more domain names back in the 90s. And all I can say is, well... Same here, you know, I'm kind of gutted myself. Yeah. But hey, what can you do?
A million quid down, now that I come to think of it. I actually, right, in 1996, I owned my first name.com, joseph.com.
Right.
And Sophie owns sophie.com. But not Sophie.
Sophie, yeah.
That's right, yeah, because she spells it a different way. Now, my full name is available as .com, but I don't know. I don't really... I mean, I obviously wish I'd registered pizza.com. I have a couple of URLs that I own at the moment. Like, I own yyydelilah.co.uk, which I think is quite a good one.
But it's spelt wrong.
Yeah, it is spelled wrong, yeah. I missed out the H when I was registering, and then, like, 2 minutes later, someone registered it, I think, from the people that I was registering with. Good old one and one, nicking off people's good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, myname.com is now owned by a Scot who owns an internet cafe. And I have offered him some money to buy back my original domain name. But
obviously he's not budging.
Sorry?
Obviously he's not budging, though.
Nah, well, yeah, I don't blame him, really. The only thing I am a little bit knocked off about, and that is that he hasn't done anything with the URL. Now, see, when I had it, I had a great web page.
Right.
Oh, well.
In your opinion.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, we both went a bit quiet there.
Yeah.
I was listening to you. You sort of faded out, and it went... Yeah, it just died. Anyway, should we move on? I talk about URLs. I mean, I own a couple. I mean, I was debating changing the name of Promo Time to another name, and I registered that.com, but I haven't really got around to it yet.
No.
And that's valid for 2 years. I'm not actually going to give that name away, just in case I do decide to still go live with it. Yeah. But I also own aaroncooper.co.uk as well.
Oh, you definitely should do something with that, buddy.
It's just pointing to Promo Time at the moment.
Right. Yeah. Well, at least that's something that you're doing with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like a dead link.
No.
You know, it is, at least it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've obviously got, you know, the traditional me at aaroncooper.co.uk or info@aaroncooper.co.uk. Anyway, moving on, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the traditional stuff, and obviously that's going through my Gmail. But needless to say... yeah, they're both doing quite well, even without major pimpage.
Yeah.
But I think it's because my name is quite a popular name, probably.
Yeah, you are Mr. Popularity. Let's move swiftly on.
I think we should take a break.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back after this. This is, I'm trying to think, pageant cast promo. Yeah, here we go.
If you're looking for the latest in beauty pageant news and interviews, tune in to www.pageantcast.com. The Pageant Cast is the first podcast dedicated to beauty pageants. And just listen to some of the people that we've interviewed.
Caitlin Morrell, Miss Wisconsin USA 2007.
Danita Florence, Mrs. Georgia 2001.
Miss Shandy Finnessy, Miss USA 2004.
Jessica Wedge, Miss West Virginia USA 2006.
And Rada Faladaku, Mrs. Globe.
Jenna Edwards, Miss Florida USA 2007.
Emily Keith, US Miss 2005.
Morgan Matlock, Miss Texas 2005.
Meredith Boyd, Mrs. Georgia United States 2003.
Carmen Tyler, Miss Louisiana 1995.
Sarah Wall, Miss International.
Jackie Hart, Miss Galaxy 2006.
Come on out to www.pageantcast.com with a new show every week.
Hi, this is Carmen Tyler, and you're listening to SLV Podcast with Aaron and Joe.
And we are back. How are we all doing?
Yeah,
are we feeling a bit more refreshed after that?
Yeah, Pageant Cast. That's a great idea for a podcast, actually.
Indeed, it makes me wonder. And this is, you know, totally off the cuff. Just how many of them lovely ladies do you think he? I'm not going to get into that.
Okay,
no, that's just wrong. Yeah, I'm not. Let's move past. Actually, let's move past it. Let's get back to where we were before. Where were we? I can't remember. Let's move on.
We were 3G about the Apple iPhone, weren't we?
Yeah, 3G iPhone in 60 days.
Yes.
Apparently. Indeed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just can't see this happening.
I've got to say, I do see it happening, you know?
Do you really?
Did you not hear about what's happening in Germany right now?
No.
In the German market, you can currently buy an iPhone, a regular iPhone, for £78.
Oh, now I have heard about this.
Now, what does that tell you? Are they trying to shift the old stock in preparation for the new? Do they know something we don't?
Maybe, but I here's the thing. Apple are always one of these companies that they give you just enough of a good thing. You know, they always leave you wanting something a little bit more. Just something like, only like two USBs on the MacBook Air, or, you know, or no Ethernet, or something that I need, something that I want, yeah. And that's the secret to their success, I reckon, just keep giving us just enough to tempt us into buying crap that we don't really need, but, oh well, moving on. Sorry, am I going to have to beat that? I think I am.
No, don't worry, it's all good. Don't worry, it's all good.
Anyway, yeah, it's just...
In case you are listening to us on... broadcast your podcast or broadcast my podcast.com. Welcome to the show. We're here daily. Check us out, slvpodcast.co.uk. Almost daily, isn't it?
That's almost, yeah, it's one of the lies that we sort of like to spread about ourselves. Moving on.
Anyway, back to this iPhone 3G malarkey thing.
Oh, yeah, 3G. 3G means that you could potentially have video. But yeah. Then, I mean, what do you need 3G for, genuinely now?
Well, it's third generation, isn't it?
Yeah, but isn't it... I've actually had a go with an iPhone.
Right.
And the only thing I liked about it was the fact that you could use it for the internet wherever you go. I mean, that's pretty much what sells it to me, why I want one so bad. A guy comes into where I work and asked for a docking system. And I said, oh, they'll all probably work. And then he said, oh, no, it won't. And then he plugged it in to one of the iPod docks, and lo and behold, it did work. But it did say on the screen that it wasn't designed for it. I was like, how does it know?
Yeah.
But they all worked. Everything we plugged it into worked.
Yeah.
Good old iPhone.
Yeah. Always good.
One thing I would say about it was when I was mucking around with it, the guy had a shockingly expensive contract, and the phone itself, I think he'd actually got it for cheap. He'd only paid £130, which isn't as cheap as £78, but it's actually cheaper than...
a lot of other places.
Yeah, a lot of other places, and I don't know how he got it so cheap, but it was cool having a go with it. But I was a little bit under-impressed with it, a little bit like the iPod... Touch. I'm a big fan of Apple, but I'm just not a big enough fan to justify the cost.
Okay. I think it's lost its sort of buzz a bit now as well, for me anyway, because I mean, there's so many issues with it. It keeps on. I mean, they give you a little bit with the left hand, for example, with the SDK. Do you know what I mean? But then they keep it locked. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're taking with the other hand.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. They've and what you've gained, I mean, on the swings, you've lost on the roundabouts. Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. I suppose if you want to put it like that. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's to me, it's just ridiculous. But anyway.
Oh well.
More Apple news, actually. About, and I think you were going to mention this before, were you, Joe?
Is this the one that Apple is the most influential brand?
Apparently, yeah, according to some sort of new survey from online site Brand Channel. Apple apparently romped home to victory and in its first Brand Junkies Award to discover the brand was the most, has basically got the most global impact.
See, now, I don't actually agree with this one.
Well, dude, I mean, the facts are there.
Yeah, I know, but that
there's
was
no
just,
agree or disagree.
No, it's an opinion. It's an award that's based on opinion.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think
aren't
that
most awards based on opinion?
I don't think they're that influential, really.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to try and think of a brand that influences me more than Apple. In terms of innovation, I would say, well, I think actually Nintendo are more innovative than Apple, and they sell better.
Yeah.
You know, you can't... and in terms of hardware sales, then that's... The Wii seems to have won that one, pretty much hands down. In terms of accessories, or third-party accessories, I'm not sure. Wii or Apple?
Well, apparently, according to Gizmodo, following Apple, the most popular brands were Nike, or Nike, as you guys over in the States would say.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola, Google, and Starbucks, and of course Richard Branson's Virgin brand, which was also quite highly ranked in a couple of categories.
Yeah, Virgin is pretty influential because they do have a huge... I mean, as a business, they have...
I've got issues with Virgin. I really have.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, what they do quite well. But Richard Branson, fine, yeah, he's minted. But the only reason why he's minted is because he sold his name to a lot of things. Or he sold the name Virgin to a lot of things. He doesn't know what goes on at all. I guarantee he doesn't know what goes on.
No, no. I'd say from personal experience, I think he does. Last time I saw Richard Branson, it was on a train, a Virgin train, and
right.
And he seemed to be...
It was obviously a publicity thing then.
No, it wasn't a publicity thing. He was on a train. He was in, I think it was Crewe. And I was working on the trains at the time, and he was down. There was a lot of hoo-ha about him being there, obviously, but it wasn't a publicity thing because there was no sort of press there or anything like that. Just he was there doing a meet and greet to Virgin staff, I think it was, and I was there too. I think he does have his hand in the pie still.
I see. For me, I think to me, it's like a franchise. I think he is effectively franchising out the Virgin name to. And please, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. In fact, actually, I think you've got an apology to make to me, actually, Joe, if I remember rightly.
Oh dear! I don't believe that making copies of your own CDs.
Before we get into that, we should really sort of, you know, just take it back a couple of steps. A couple of episodes ago. Joe disagreed with me, saying that within UK law, and I mean UK law now, not worldwide law, but UK law, it was illegal. Sorry, he said it was not illegal to rip a copy of your CD to put it onto your iPod, for example.
And the reason, I justified this by the use of a Birmingham government website that told they didn't say it. Well, that it was. They did. They said it was, and it wasn't against the law to make copies for personal use of CDs. Sorry, by transferring them into MP3s, effectively. And I've used this to justify me making a ridiculous amount of copies of all the CDs that I own. Now, here's the thing: they're my CDs. I should be able to do what the hell I like with them.
But you don't own the copyright for them, mate.
Copy the CDs and give them away.
No, but you're creating a copy for use elsewhere. And that gives you the opportunity to give it away to somebody else.
So a backup of my CDs is against the law.
Doesn't make a difference.
No, a backup of my CDs, that's not against the law.
Of course it is. Because what is an MP3 if it's not a backup?
Okay. Seriously, it's only when you transfer the format that you're breaking the law. But CD
as in,
backups,
like, converting it from WMA to, or WAV, sorry, to, or whatever, to
from,
MP3.
From anything from CD to whatever, yeah. If you want...
Then you're breaking the law.
Yeah,
wow.
You're breaking the law.
Right, so I was right, you were wrong, and you apologised to me, yeah?
Yeah, I apologise. Do you know what, though? I would say this. Just recently, MPs have called that law into question, because it really is an archaic law from back in the day.
Right.
And so they're trying to...
But, I mean, people aren't getting done for it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, do you know what? I think that there's probably no one in this country who owns an iPod who has legal music on their iPod then.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are ways of getting legal music onto your iPod.
No, there isn't.
Without buying a CD. In fact, no, there is, dude. And I will give you one example. And one great example, actually, is in 2006, and again... Tell me if I'm wrong, but I swear I've read this somewhere. Approximately 40% of all teenagers bought a... approximately 60% of all teenagers, when buying music or acquiring music, bought a CD version of it. Yeah? In 2007, that same percentage...
Yeah.
...bought a digital version of it. For example, downloaded it from iTunes, downloaded it from Amazon, downloaded it from Target's website. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are other legal ways of getting music. Downloaded it from eMusic, for example. Another great example of a nice, cheap, and effective way of getting digital downloads legally. And, of course, DRM-free.
The reason why I don't buy digital music, and this is not... I have bought digital music in the past, but here's the reason. And that is that digital copies of a product... number one, are easily deleted. I mean, it takes one button press and they're gone. On my computer, anyway. I don't have any confirmation. And it's just, yeah, it's a real pain.
Okay.
But yeah, I need a physical copy. I want to see album artwork. I want to see...
But you could download album artwork.
Oh... Digital distribution again. Now, digital distribution, by the way, is my answer to the HD format war. It really is. I think that's how what's going to win is DVD and digital distribution.
Okay.
Anyway, we're about half hour in, aren't we? Almost.
Almost, yeah, 28 minutes.
I think it's time to wrap this bad boy up.
Well, it's time for some music, I think, first.
Oh, music. Oh, okay.
Indeed, yeah.
Music. This week, I do not believe it's Podsafe, but we're going to play it anyway. And I've got no idea how to pronounce this name, so I'm going to just say it in the way that I think it's said.
Okay, we'll be quick.
Yael Name, New Soul.
Yael Name and New Soul, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Cheers for that, Aaron.
No worries. We'll see you the other side of this.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake. La 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 la. Strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about what is true and fake. But while these hate try to communicate, fighting trust and love is not always easy to make. La 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 la. La 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 'cause you don't understand. Everything you have done, why's everything so wrong? This is a happy end, come and give me your hand, I'll take you far away. I'm a new soul, I came to this strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and love feel, finding myself making every possible mistake.
Links, of course, in the show notes at slvpodcast.co.uk. I'm going to try and pronounce it again as we finish up the music. It's Yael. Is it Yael Naim? New Soul. Obviously found at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. A great song.
Also available on Amazon.
Is it also available on Amazon as well?
Yeah, I'll send you a link.
And quite possibly, actually, it's iTunes as well, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, it is available on iTunes as well. Yeah, because that's, I think... Oh, and this is actually... Okay, this is going to sound shocking. I actually own a legal copy of this song for my iPod, believe it or not.
Did you actually download the whole song, did you?
I did, yeah, from iTunes.
Okay. Oh, no, cool.
Moving on.
Yeah.
I'm sure that is not PodSafe. We're probably going to get sued now.
We're not. Oh, seriously. Well. Seriously, honestly, check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes, seriously.
But yeah, Yael Naim, I think, is Yael? Yael Naim? Oh my goodness me. Great song, I love it. Very sexy voice, yeah.
And obviously popularised in the old MacBook adverts.
Yeah, the MacBook Air.
Indeed. Yeah, so I mean, I guess pretty much that's going to do it for us for another day, I suppose.
Pretty much.
Indeed, should we bother giving out all the information again about how people can contact us? Obviously, you can find all the information of everything we've talked about in the show notes at slvpodcast.co.uk. That's the music.
That's the music.
That is the music. Obviously, you can get in touch with us. Numbers on the website, I really can't remember it off the top of my head, but we'd love your calls. contact the show. What is it, SLV at SLVpodcast, yeah?
That's right.
Awesome. SLV at SLVpodcast. I've been Aaron.
And I've been Joe.
Take care, folks. Ta-da.
Do you want your promo to do more for you? Have you got a promo you want to get out there? Want to find a promo? Want to play a promo? Then promotime.podomatic.com is the place for you. What we're trying to create here is a community where you can access any promo you want, and by listening to your promo here, it gives you the opportunity to extend your audience. If you play a promo in your show, let us know, then the owner will be told. And as the owner, it's down to you to thank the player on air, getting you more traffic in the end. Nip on over, take a look, promotime.podomatic.com. You know it makes sense.